Great. Good morning. Everybody seems awake. It is good to see much more people on time here early. It is great. Well done. I like it. It is good to the soul to see that. Let me just get my notes out here. Man, we just felt this morning that God's going to do something special this morning. And I said, let's... I'm going to share and we're going to see what the Lord does, but the aim is this morning that we meet with God. And so we want to leave enough time for worship. But isn't it so cool that Brendan leading the meeting this morning? Thanks to two hands that went up for that. The reason why is because we can really just, I don't know if you know Brendan, but recently we just saw, man, there's something of the life on Jesus on him. Over the last couple of months, it's just like it's always been there, but it seems like it just took a spike, yeah? And really, I wish he'd shared that. I'll still give him a chance, maybe a bit later. But he shared with us on Sunday that about two months ago, right? Come share. I won't do such a good job. Share that.
Okay, I'll share with you. There's a bit more to it, but just briefly, 3 months ago. I've been working through a few things over a few years, and God really set me free and healed me 3-4 months ago of things that I had to let go in my own personal life. And one of the big challenges that God laid on my heart was spending time with Him. And like, I enjoy sport, and like Andre Carlitz is a very good runner. And one thing you'll know in sport is if you do not put in the hours, you do not have the results. And it's like anything in life. When you put in the effort, you see the results. And that's where I was like, God laid on my heart, you need to spend time with me. If you want to walk in the things that I have for you, you got to be spending time with me. If you want to impact people around you and you want to be value to people, spend time with me. And so I've been getting up 4 o'clock every morning for the last 3 months, and I spend an hour every morning with God in scripture and in prayer. And the change that's happened with me is that I walk more closely with God. He convicts you of my sin every second of the day. So I'm more aware of my shortfalls. And when you spend time with Him, you're more aware of people around you. You're more aware of their needs. You're more aware of people are at. And you're more encouraging because you realize how weak we are without God. And so then through that, you encourage people. Yeah.
Come on. Well done. And... yeah, cool. There's five hands for that one. That's great. I think for me also the highlight out of that is that not necessarily the amount of time spent with God, but the change of heart, the change of value that if I do not spend time with God, I'll die. And it's so cool. I mean, we say that often. We believe it. All of us believe that we need to spend time with God, but it's beautiful to see when it switches on in someone. And I'm so well done, bro. We're benefiting from your obedience. All right. So for this morning, I think I had something planned, and then in the prayer meeting, it was just so evident that the Lord has another idea. So I'm going to see how we can combine the two, see where we're going to go. But I think even on Sunday when we had a leaders meeting and I ministered a bit just to our leaders, it felt like I think there might be many of us here who feel burdened and or under pressure or stressed or just heavy. Who of you feel like that at this moment? Just me. Cool. There's some, it's like, I'll be preaching to myself this morning, all right? But, and you all have to listen. But, no, so there are a couple. And I think there's something that the Lord has on His heart this morning. And I want to read it to us in Psalm 73, verse 16 to 17. It says this: when I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply. And I think for some of you, that might be where you are. It's like just trying to make sense of life at this moment, it's heavy. It's troubling us deeply. And then it says this: until I entered the presence of God, and then I understood. How cool is that? It says, when we just try and sort stuff out and we try and find our way, it's like it burdens us. But it's beautiful. It says, until I enter the presence of the Lord, and then it makes sense. And we have the desire this morning to enter the presence of the Lord. And I really believe as we're going to enter, that things will just make sense in the light of who Jesus is. Amen? So we're going to pray. And Can we maybe do this? Can you put your hand in your heart? And I believe that the Lord wants to touch our hearts this morning. And so, Father, I just pray this morning that we will enter your presence. And things that weigh on our hearts, things that trouble us, things that we don't understand, I pray just as we come to you this morning, that when we see you and we enter your presence, it'll just make sense with you, God. Lord, I pray that you would come and touch every heart here this morning. God, I pray that you'd just come and settle where there's unrest, Lord, and that we will find rest with you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Man, I think for myself personally, the Lord has done a lot in my life the last couple of months. And there's a verse, I think I told you guys many times that when I just got saved, I printed out a couple of verses that I felt these, and that time I didn't know how significant it was, but I printed out a few things and I stuck it on my wall in this neon colored paper. And every morning when I wake up, I would see, and I would open my cupboard, it would be there. And I would see verses and I would just read it and I would remind myself, one of them being Hebrews 12 verse 11 that says, at this time, the discipline of the Lord doesn't seem much pleasant. And I every morning said, yes. But it says, but at some stage, you will yield a fruitful harvest. Yeah? And I was like, I would open my cupboard every morning and I would read that. I said, it doesn't seem much fun right now, but at a time, it's going to yield a harvest. And I would read it and I would stir it. And there would be other verses that I would put on there and it would stir faith. And one of them, for me, that I think the last 2 weeks, the Lord has brought across my mind, and I think for us as a church again, is this one. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. How beautiful is that? And I would wake up, and when I enter my room after the day or whatever, and I would read that, and I say, God, whether I'm here or whether I'm out there, my aim is to bless your heart. Isn't that your desire? That we can bless the Lord, please Him, all right? But then the hard part comes, is Hebrews 11:6 says, whoa. That's okay, cool, shame. It's okay, it's sometimes normal procedure. God is yellow, right? Okay, cool, thanks. we just want to pray for now. God, we just pray for that sickness. Actually, it does it regularly to Paulette, Lord. We just trust you in Jesus' name for that thing to leave, Lord. And we pray for her body to be restored. And just even as she's here and under this word, we pray just for faith to come to her heart in the name of Jesus. So any sickness that is not of you, we just command that thing to leave in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Cool. The hard part with this, all right, she'll be all right. You guys can look at me. Is in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says this, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yeah? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And forever we draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. But it's not contradicting, but hard thing. That is, our aim is to please the Lord, whether we're here or away or at home or wherever. But then the thing is, we can't please Him without faith. All right. And last week, for those of you who were here last Sunday, I loved it. Okay. And it was this time where even now, just praying for her, we need to step out in faith that no longer anything that we do in our own strength or that we try and do more for the Lord, but it's without faith, it is actually not pleasing unto the Lord. And sometimes we convince ourselves that if I do this, God must see it, and He sees it. But do we really believe that it's impossible to please Him if it's out of a place of self and not faith? And so I want to provoke us this morning to a place of living in faith and not out of self. All right? And a couple of weeks ago, I also spoke about us where you remember the altar story, the fire coming down on the altar. And we said the thing I believe that was on that altar was Elijah's faith, saying, Lord, unless you come, I'm done. And who of you feel at a place in your life at this moment where you're like, Lord, unless you come through, I'm done. All right? I'm there. All right? I'm there. It's like, Lord, I don't want to keep trying to sustain this in my own strength. I want to live at a place where unless you come through, Lord, that's it. Because I know that'll bless your heart. I know that'll please your heart. And but here's the thing, is the devil is out there, and he will do everything in his power to derail us from that. Everything. Okay? And yes, the challenge with this is the devil will, for all of us who have been saved longer than a year, okay, like, the devil is not going to rock up at your door with his pitchfork and the two horns and say, ha ha, I'm the devil, and here's something, and then, like, and because we're going to recognize that, hopefully, and like, okay, get out my house, all right? So he's going to use different strategies to try and derail us and lure our faith away, okay? And so, are you guys with me? And let me just scan it because I'm running ahead of myself here. And so I think for those of us have been saved longer, sin, hopefully sin we can recognize from a long way, because the devil loves to use that, okay? And it's like, if you're going to be addicted to something, there is 100% chance that faith will not be there, all right? And I'm not speaking faith at believing that God exists or whatever, but faith that God wants to move, faith believing the Lord. You guys get the difference, all right? And so, he steals faith. I've been addicted to stuff for a long time. I can be vulnerable here, okay? It's like, for a long time in my life, I've been addicted to pornography, okay? I could not minister to someone in faith when I fell. Can't, okay? I know I should. I still believe that God exists, but I could not genuinely rock up to someone and say, I believe the Lord wants to touch you today, because sin has robbed. All right. So I want to put that out there. If you're addicted to sin and like continual sin and stuff, guys, you are not going to grow, and that thing needs to end. And I just love, man, this week has been, it's been a productive and a stretching week. Our leaders will understand what that means. And but one of the things that I loved is I saw in this week, you remember a couple of weeks ago I said that there's some stuff that we've been okay with for years that the Lord is bringing to the surface. Yeah? And this week has been it, all right? Where there's just been stuff. I had meetings with numerous people, and stuff just came up. Sin, all right? And that they repented of, and that they made decisions for. And I was like, Lord, this is amazing. We're moving forward, all right? So I want to stir you, man. If there's some stuff that you're addicted to, I want to urge you, come and chat to one of us. We would love to help you get free, because the Lord has paid a price to see you free, all right? That's on a complete side note. I didn't plan to go into sin. But what the devil is doing today is, I think, one way, except for sin, that he's using to derail our faith today, because he's trying clever ways, is he's putting stuff before us that doesn't quite look like sin just on its own, but it's enough to steal faith. All right, because sin we can see from a long way around, and we need to know that we haven't arrived yet, okay? And that the devil is out there to devour. It says that like a roaring lion, to kill, steal, and destroy, and devour us and steal us away from the Lord with everything he can, okay? And I've lost my notes completely, and that's okay. Let me just see where I want to go from here. Okay, I felt two things for us this morning, that the devil for us who are saved, that he's using to derail us and steal our faith away, or just lure us away, that yes, you might get to heaven. Might. I think you might, okay? But I think many of us might sit here this morning, and there's many Christians in this life that actually might not inherit their full eternal reward because of these things, all right? It's heavy. Think about that for a moment, okay? And the first one, and the leaders, I've spoken about this on Sunday, but I felt it for us as well, is this evil word called busyness. All right? Now, busyness, you won't find busyness necessarily in the Bible as a sin, right there, all right? But man, how is the devil using this thing to derail us, okay? And I often said to my community at a stage, and I did it with the leaders on Sunday, I said, so often when we greet one another, it sounds like this, hey, how are you doing? Very good, just very busy. Who of you have heard that line before? All right? Who of you have used that line before? All right? And so I said to the guys, actually, when we greet one another, I don't want to hear those words. All right? Because busyness, what it does, is it makes us an island. Né? Like it says, Whenever I tell someone, hey, I'm so busy, it's like, I'm busy and you don't understand how busy I am. And the person on the other side thinks, listen, I'm busy. You don't actually understand how busy I am. And some of you with kids are looking at us without kids and like, you don't know what busy is, all right? And then we're looking at the single people and it's like, just wait till you get married, okay? And what it does, it's actually degrading is the wrong word, but like, yes, it's like, it's thinking less of someone like you don't know. You don't understand, all right? And man, every one of us are busy. It's like all of us have productive schedules. Maybe if you have kids, you learned a different structure. But trust me, without kids, I can be very busy if I want to. I can make it work, all right? I can make it busy. And I think something that Ivan said a while ago, and many of the elders, actually, it was so encouraging. They said, you know, they've learned, especially in their families, to not use the word busy. Because busy has this thing, it's like, okay, just don't ask me stuff now because I can't give attention to that. And so what Ivan would use, he has these words like, this was either a very stretching week or a fruitful week or a very productive week is the word Grant would use, okay? And I think sometimes with that, I think it's good tools because then if I tell you this has been a stretching week, you can ask me, okay, why? What happened? But now we can continue the conversation here. It's like, you don't understand, leave me alone kind of a thing, all right? If it's been a very productive week, I can give you info on maybe what I've done and what I've been productive with. You guys get me? All right? And so, I'm not going to speak this morning about managing your schedule. I think that is something you can go do in your own time. Work it out with God. Work it out with some leaders if you need to. But be aware that this thing of busyness and being overburdened is not of the Lord. God entrusts us with stuff and we need to be faithful with and we need to work hard, okay? But you know that working hard is actually a consequence of sin, all right? When Adam sinned, and he ate the fruit, the Lord said, from now on, you will go work the earth for it to be productive. Before then, it has just always been. All right? So if you fall into this thing of work, 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 we fall right into the consequence of sin. Okay? And so, thanks. Yeah. And so, my lachy. And here's the problem is, I think what busyness is doing in us at the moment is, busyness is one area that we can work with, but if we don't deal with it, it has a fruit. And that fruit is called anxiety, what I believe. All right? And anxiety is this thing where you'll sit and where it's like, but I don't know just what to do. Like, what about that? What about that? And we panic about a situation. And how many of you have had things that you, because of anxiety, you like freaking out? And actually, if you remain calm, you can sort it out within an hour. But because of anxiety and overthinking, it takes like 2 weeks to get it done. If you had that, it was just me. All right? Some people here can agree with me this morning, okay? And anxiety is keeping us from worshiping, okay? Because fear, which is anxiety, worry and worship are contradicting. You cannot come with a heart full of fear and stand on a Sunday morning and worship a faithful God. It's contradicting. You can try. You can put in your own strength, muster it up, and try and do something like, oh, I need to. But if your hearts are filled with fear, we can never genuinely worship with faith. And the devil is using this thing to lure us away with hearts full of faith to hearts that are busy and searching and in our own strength trying to work something out. And I believe that the Lord wants to get rid of that this morning. I wrote a couple of stuff down here. It says that true worship cannot take place when we try to keep control over our own lives. Anxiety tries to steal our view of God, and it makes God seem small and our problems so big because it casts the focus where it shouldn't be. You can quote me on Facebook later. But sorry, that was bad. But I think that is it. Is it? And this morning in our prayer time, what Brendan referred to, it was beautiful. Okay, where we had this time, and who of you remember that old Hillsong song? I just got saved when I heard it for the first time. But where it says, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power and love. Our God is awesome. And you know, as I sang that, and I can remember, it was years ago that I've heard that song. But as we sung it this morning, like I could feel my heart just be filled with faith. Like, Lord, you've got this. You got it, Lord. You're in control. Okay? That's amazing. It's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. He says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And I believe the self-control part here comes to be managing your schedules. All right? I want to stir you. If you're at a place where you're like overwhelmed by the busyness, guys, you need to go sit and plan what to say yes to and what to say no to. All right? And often the first problem is, and that's why I loved what Brendan was sharing this morning. Unfortunately, the first thing, if we're super busy, what's the first thing that goes out the door? Quiet time. Why? The very source of life, the very thing that keeps us alive is the very first thing we kick out the door and we're like, I actually don't have time for that. And right there, we play into the devil's trap and I think that's where it becomes sin. It's like the very source of life from God, we kick out the door and we're like, now I'm going to depend on my own strength. I'll make this work. All right? Thank you. I've never had such encouragement. It's amazing. And thanks. Romans 8:15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery." And busyness, in a sense, it is slavery, I think, which either you can put on yourself or just through circumstances, but you're bound to it. If I don't perform, I'm not going to have money. All right? It's not a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And when we cry out, Abba, Father, you know what that looks like for me? It's a picture of worship, all right? Crying out to the Lord. But in fear, we can't do that. Anxiety and worship can't be in the same room together. And it says, many of you might feel at a place of giving up or just doing less and less so that you don't fall back into depression. And I just feel that that is not the Lord, all right? The devil is using this thing where some of you might sit and you're like, I just need to cut back and cut back on church, cut back on community, cut back on Bible study because I actually don't have time for all the work. I'm fairly confident that that is not the Lord. Very confident, all right? I do not think we will get to heaven and he will tell you on that day, well done, good and faithful servant, if that was your reason. All right, I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but I don't believe that that's the Lord. And I think at many times, anxiety can be prevented by prioritizing the Lord above other things. And yes, sometimes there are medical situations, all right, I don't disregard that, okay, and there are external situations, but I think sometimes we also allow the devil in too easily through our own greed. And I just want to stir you this morning, man. And I'm not going to talk about scheduling and all that stuff now. But I want to stir you. If at the moment we're cutting back on the Lord to fulfill a comfortable lifestyle, I think we're stepping right into the devil's playground. Stepping into that fear zone. And you worry why, and you wonder why fear won't leave. I promise you, you can sort out all your problems and still be full of fear. But you won't truly be in faith in the Lord, and there's problems around you, but full of fear. And I want to stir you this morning, man. Like, it's this hard thing where the Lord says he's done a finished work. Jesus has paid the price. It is done for. Like, everything is okay. And then he says, but now I want you to go. And there's sometimes that the Lord says, I came to make you free. I paid the price. You're free. But now you need to prioritize. He's not just going to do it for you and take away the fear and you're going to sit back and chill. It's like sometimes some of you need to sit even here this morning and say, this thing I need to cut or this I need to change or I need to prioritize. Like Brendan said, he's productive, okay? But he said, Lord, I can do it at 4 in the morning. Is that easy? Oh, no. I'm thankful that I can do it later in the morning, okay? But for him, that's where he is. But isn't it evident that the life of God is coming out of that, even in a very productive life? Yeah? And I want that, man. And I want to let us say, it cannot be, I'll try and see where I can make it work, and hopefully the Lord will just come through. The Lord is asking of us this morning to step in and to make a change. All right, are you guys with me on that page? All right, cool. Busyness, evil, the devil is using that. Okay. Second point that I think for many that he's using is this thing, and this might be a different giant that we don't always expect, all right? And it doesn't seem that evil as well. But the second one I believe he uses is comfort. Comfort and complacency. And this, it's this hard thing where the Lord says, come to me and I'll give you rest, okay? And we're like, man, if I can just be comfortable, it must be the Lord. Not necessarily, all right? I think, in fact, following Jesus, it's often very uncomfortable, all right? But you can follow Jesus and be at rest, all right? But sometimes, you know, the story of David and Goliath, it's quite an interesting story, and I wish I could do like a whole month series on David and Goliath. I love that story, okay? But, you know, the hard thing for me is, you know, for 40 days, it's this weird thing. So how the war worked in that time, it wasn't the drone that they flew and bombed people up. The one army, Philistines, would gather on this mountain. The Israelites would gather on this mountain, and there would be this valley in between. And every day, they would come down, all the armies, and walk up to one another and stand there and wait on who's going to fire the first arrow. Then at night, if nothing happened, they would go back to their camps and go sleep. Next morning, come back down. I'm like, why don't you just go in the night? And okay, but anyway. And so it was a weird concept of warfare, okay? And so for 40 days, they would gather on this plain, and this giant called Goliath would come down. Now, he was a pretty sizey guy. All right, he was fairly big. He was bigger than something I'd ever seen. And he would come down and he would intimidate them. Fear, anxiety. All right, here we are again. And he would stand there and he would intimidate and actually curse the Lord. And it says that the Israelite trembled day after day after day. And for 40 days he would rock up there and listen to this guy intimidating them. How hectic is that? All right. And the problem was there was a consequence to this. He says, send out your best fighter, and if he beats me, we'll become your slaves. And if I beat him, all of you become my slaves. So now it's like, okay, there's actually a price to this. I don't want to be the guy to walk up there, then I die, and the rest of the whole nation needs to be slaves to this oak. So they were trying to work this thing out, all right? But can you imagine at night they go back, and they sit in their tents, under their blankets, with their food, with the bride going, and they say, tomorrow, if he comes back, I'll kill him. I'll pull out his toenails and burn him. Or I don't know. Like, nobody enjoyed that one. Anyway, but like, it's like these were mighty men. Okay, they were warriors, and they're sitting around their fires. There must have been some of them sitting there. If he comes back tomorrow and do it, I will do this. I'll kill him. I'll be that guy. And for 40 days, not one of them did anything. How sad is that? And how often do we say, man, next time that there's that opportunity, I'll do it. And years go by without many of us obeying the Lord. But tomorrow at work, if I see that guy again, I'll tell him about Jesus. And you've been working at the same company for 10 years and they don't even know that you're saved. Fear, intimidation. And David, let me see, I don't run ahead of myself. And David gets there, and he obeyed his father. He took bread for his brothers, okay? They didn't have like food camps and whatever. He was the guy that had to supply the food. And he didn't even know that there's a giant there. So David didn't rock up with a plan. I know the giant's there, I'll go show him, I've got my bazooka in my pocket, and we'll just take him out, easy, okay? He didn't get there with a plan, and he got there, and he saw a whole nation trembling, and this one guy intimidating the Lord, and I believe that he was motivated by the glory of God. We say, this, what is happening here, is not glorifying God. And he says, hold my cheese, okay, because he took cheese. He gave it to someone, and he's like, I will go up to this dirty Philistine, and I'll tell him what needs to be told, and I'll show him today that the Lord is greater than him, okay? And it's hard to make people laugh today. Hold my cheese, man. And so David got there and he's like, what do I have? He says, I have my slingshot. He goes and he picks up five stones and he walks up to this Philistine, and we all know the rest of the story. But he did not get there with an agenda to kill. But he was ready. He was prepared. He was motivated by the glory of God. And I want to ask you, who of you are motivated by the glory of God, that God's glory must be extended in Melkbos and in South Africa? All right? Guys, this, I want to focus on this again. This for me is a problem. It is. I mentioned it last week. For those of you who don't know what it is, we're trusting for souls here, okay? So on the one side is people we're praying for, and it's names that we're trusting the Lord for. And on this side is people we saw getting saved. Now, I thank the Lord for that. I reckon it's 12 to 15 that's in there. I bless the Lord for them. But why in a year is it 12 or 15? It's like, Lord, there's a problem. Are we missing why God does have us in Melkbos? Hey? And the thing with comfort, you know, like I said earlier, comfort is not just a position of healthy or comfortable lifestyle and having your toys and stuff. I think that's another demon called materialism, which we can go into in a whole nother preach. But comfort and complacency is an attitude of the heart. It's one of procrastination, like one of like not obeying the Lord immediately. Delayed obedience is also disobedience, all right? And the problem with this is, and I want to show the seriousness of the day. There might be many of you sitting here today who will not miss your eternal inheritance because of addiction to sin or because you've been divorced five times or whatever. I think there might be many sitting here who will miss out on eternal rewards because of comfort. Settling. Choosing not to obey. There's always time. There's always time. There's always time. And I believe the Lord is putting His finger on that and saying, there's not always time. We never know. We never know. And, you know, when David got there and they told him, his brothers told him, who are you to think that you're going to go up and defeat this Philistine? And what have you done before? And he says, you know, this guy is not the first giant that I'm facing in my life. When I was tending my father's sheep and the lion would come, I would grab it by its beard and beat it to death. Now, if anybody's not impressed with that, I bet you to go to Kruger National Park, find a tribe of lions, put a sheep out there, and when the male lion goes for that thing, you run it down, you catch it by its hair, and you beat it to death. I dare you to do that. All right? If that's not impressive enough, I dare you to fly to Canada, where there are some grizzly bears, all right? And it says, when that bear comes for the sheep, you storm the bear, and you beat it to death. I mean, have you pictured that before? A bear is like, I mean, that's out there, all right? And David says, I've done that. And it's not in his own might. He was motivated by the glory of God. And he says, you know, this Philistine is nothing more than that. And he walked up with God and he says, you come to me. Or he walked up to Goliath and he says, you come to me with a spear and a sword in your hand, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Do we believe that there's power in the name of the Lord? All right? Thanks, Denise. And so I think sometimes we say, one day when Goliath comes, I'll take him. But we aren't faithful with the other challenges that comes across our path. And when Goliath actually rocks up, and it's not like you expect that he's going to look like. Now it's suddenly anxiety. I didn't think that's a Goliath that's going to come. Now it might be that, I mean, I pray this for now. Now it might be that a family member dies. That's not the Goliath I expected. Now it might be that your business that was booming is suddenly bankrupt. You didn't see that Goliath coming. And we don't know how to stand when he comes. Because we're unfaithful with the smaller stuff that comes past. And we're like, it's okay. There's time. Even when there's ripe fruit, some of our friends to be harvested, and it feels at the sudden like a Goliath because we haven't been faithful with the little opportunities to reach out and breach across that breach. And so I want to give some practical tips today of when we're going to leave this place. It is not, and I'm not speaking only for a meeting, man. For this meeting, we need to step out in faith and we risk with the Lord and we prophesy and we do all the things and we worship God passionately. Okay, that is a whole nother topic. This is for when we go out of this place, how are we going to please the Lord? And I want you guys to take note of these and how to fight comfort and busyness. All right? Let me see. There's a theme that I have, or like a line that I have, that I wish could resonate in our hearts, is remember that life is short. Life is short. All right? Maybe you have 80 years. Maybe. And then eternity. Eternity with rewards, or not rewards, or hell. That's not a word we like to use, all right? But you have 80 years now, and if you position yourself for comfort and stuff, it might be eternity, only you, if you get there in heaven, with very little to place before the Lord to worship Him. It says our rewards that we get, we're anyway going to cast it before the Lord again, all right? And then you have, God, I have this to cast before you, and there's going to be guys with treasure chests casting before the Lord. All right, and the thing with this is, a second one is, remember that God is big. All right, and there's this theme that echoes in my heart. Life is short, and God is big. Life is short, God is big. You know what it does when I tell myself that during the day? It's like, life is short. I don't know how long time I have to see this guy, but God is big. He's bigger than this Muslim belief. He's bigger than that. I can risk with the Lord. Life is short. God is big. God can enter this situation. Life is short, but God is big. And we wage war with that. And even in my planning of how I'm planning my life and direction, decisions I make with moving back and forth, I don't know. Life is short, but God is big. And I plan, Lord, what is it that will please your heart? And maybe, you know, the thing with faith is, coming back to faith, is faith is often the situations where your good decision doesn't make sense anymore when faith enters, all right? Or you can have everything planned out and all your 10 reasons why it is a good move for you to move that way. And then the Lord says no. And there's 100 reasons why not. But the Lord said, and now it's faith. Now that's all you got to ride on. And we just remember, life is short and God is big. He's in control. And it changed the way that I make decisions. It changed the way of, why are we here, guys? Why are we in Melkbos? We are not here to be a good doctor or a good lawyer or a good accountant or a good businessman. Yes, that is maybe your function and that's the way that you earn income. But that is not why God placed you on earth. That is not why God sent you to Melkbos. We have tons of teachers here. You're not in Melkbos just to be a good teacher. You're image bearer of the Lord. There where you are. And we remember that life is short, but God is big and it needs to shine through where we are. Man, I want to say this, guys. Melkbos, our congregation, we're not supposed to be 120, 130 people now anymore. Really. And I'm not chasing numbers, but 5 years ago when I got here, we were 120. Why? It's like, Lord, why are we not reaching this town? Where are we missing it, God? Where are we living and so actually in comfort and busyness that we miss why you placed us here? And I'm speaking to myself here today. It's like, man, I need to think bigger. There's people in this town where we live that needs the Lord. All right? Then the church. Okay, I want to say one thing that I think we need to know is that we need to have an urgency for the gospel. All right? And urgency must not be confused with busyness, all right? That's the thing where the devil want to use. I don't want to just ask you to do more today, okay? That is not the thing. I don't want to ask you just to do more and get more and be at more meetings or whatever, but I think what I want to position us is an urgency for the gospel, all right? And the church should be an urgent group of people with an urgent message. All right, not this time to reach the nations, but this is, we're an urgent group of people with an urgent message. Anybody get that? All right. And one story, I think I've shared it before, but there's been a time where, and I need to step out this in this more, okay? This is me saying I need to step out. But there's been a time where we went to watch a movie, a Christian movie in the cinemas. And I've shared this before. I'll share it again. It's a good story, okay? And we're watching this movie, and I think it was Hansi, or one of those, where just about Hansi Kronier, you guys saw the movie, some of you, okay? And in this movie, they actually beautifully showed like his salvation journey and the baptism and whatever. And man, the Lord was stirring something in my heart. And as the movie was finishing and now the credits are playing and the music is going and whatever, I just feel someone in the cinema needs to get saved. All right? And I run to the front of the cinema, okay, full of people, and I shout out, is there anyone here who doesn't know Jesus? All right? Try that next time you watch a movie, all right? Like, I tell you, all sorts of fear comes to the forefront there, okay? That was a giant, okay? And I shouted out, and right at the end, there's an old woman, Tani, sitting there, and he raises his hand. And I go to him, and I say, sir, Jesus wants you to know. And I lead that uncle to the Lord in the cinema, in Starkinikor, okay? And man, I mean, he looked like he was 120 years old. He was old, all right? And so, I don't know how long he had left. And I was like, what if I didn't ask? He could have died the next year. And I had the privilege, it was incredible, and I had the privilege to lead him and his wife in the cinema. We led them to Jesus. And it was like, God, sir, God bless you. Welcome to the kingdom. Right? But man, I risked with the Lord. I looked like a fool for the other 80 people sitting in that cinema. But it was worth it. It was worth it. I don't know if that guy's still alive. That's a couple of years ago. It was so worth it. All right? Urgent. Urgent group of people with an urgent message. And then I want to say, when it comes to busyness and anxiety, I want to encourage you, do not choose to lose the fight. Some of us have just settled like, I just can't grow in God any further. This is it. Like, man, I'll just come to church every Sunday and maybe some communities, but this is it. I want to stir you that don't choose to lose the fight. Be motivated by the glory of God. All right? Complacency leads to inaction. I don't know if that's even a word. But faith moves us into action. All right? Let our hearts be stirred with faith. And then I want to encourage you to trust God to do the maximum and not the minimum. Don't see how little we can do for the Lord. But trust that we can, God, what is the full capacity that I can have to do something for you? Trust Him to grow your capacity. There's one thing that Andrew taught me years ago, and I pray that prayer often, is he said, you need to trust the Lord that He will stretch your capacity. And God is doing it. Man, I want to say the last 3 months, I think my workload probably doubled. And it's okay, like we're surviving. It's like the one prayer I just prayed these last 3 months, Lord, you need to increase my capacity. Help me, help me, help me. And He does. And sometimes if you feel you're hitting that limit, I think some of you are just like, I'm maxed out. Trust the Lord to increase capacity, to be able to do more. All right? And so there's an invitation this morning, man. There's an invitation this morning just from the prayer that the Lord is calling us. He says, the Bible says, come to me. All of you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I think many of us might feel overburdened, and the focus this morning is not necessarily just on the rest. The focus is on the come. Come. You need to come to me. Do you believe that you can be more busy or productive in the Lord, but be more at rest? I believe that. And I believe that, just like with Brendan, that again, I've been preaching this for the last 3 months, but God is calling us to the secret place. He's calling us, guys. I hope that you can hear this morning the cry of the Lord to say, just come and meet with me. Just come and see me. Just come and be with me. I read this morning about Elijah and how there was the earthquake and the mountain that shattered in pieces, the fire that came down, and then it says, and then came the whisper, and the Lord was in the whisper. The still small voice. And he's like, come, I want to meet with you. And so the band, you guys can maybe come to the front so long. But we have this opportunity today and at home, but to meet with the Lord. And I want to read that verse again that I read at the start. In Psalm 73, 16 and 17, it says, and when I tried to understand all of this, It troubled me deeply until I entered the presence of God, and then I understood. And something for me, I mean, I'll just be real, like I had quite a wild week, right? Ups and downs. And this morning when I woke up, I just knew that I need to enter the presence of God. And when we worshiped this morning, I mean, sometimes like, for me, I'll be real, I didn't stand here this hard this morning with, oh, God is so big. I know that He is, but I needed to sing it before it started to come in. Yeah? But as we sing it, I could sense just that the worries of this world, it's like it's growing strangely dim in the light of how big the Lord is. And sometimes we need to sing it till we believe it. And this morning I have a desire that we'll enter the presence of God. And as we enter His presence, things will just make sense. It's like, I just understand. So I'm going to ask for the believers here. I'm going to make the first call for the believers. I want to ask, I think many of you this morning, just as you come in to meet with God, that there might be many who need to repent because you chose busyness over God. And we need to own up. It's like, God, I actually chose it. There were times that He gave me an option. I chose to go for busyness. And we need to repent of that. We need to repent if we chose comfort over the Lord. It's like, Lord, there were just often times where I chose to not do it because it was uncomfortable. And we need to repent of that this morning. If you want to stand for some of that, I would encourage you. You're welcome to do that. I think we need to ask the Lord this morning, Lord, that we will live by faith and not by sight. That we choose to live not in what we see as wise and our own opinions, but we choose to be a people of great faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I think some of you might just need to come and there might be names that you've trusted for you. And names that you're trusting that the Lord will reach out and touch them, and you just actually forgot about them. And this morning, you need to remember again. It's like, Lord, I trust You for this person, Lord. They'll find You, God. And that, Lord, what is it that You want me to do in the process? What is it that I need to do? And we step out in faith again. And then for there might be some here this morning that you don't know Jesus. And we speak about this urgent message. And I want to say that I'm so happy that you're here this morning, because I have an urgent message that I want to give you. Is that once, all of us were dead in sin. Dead in our trespasses, like the underburdened slavery to the sin. Slavery to the devil. Slavery to anxiety. Slaves to busyness. And for many of us, there's been a time where we met Jesus. And when Jesus said, I paid a great price on the cross with my own blood, so that you can be a free people. And that's a good message, but it becomes life when we say, God, I want to accept what You've done. And I made the decision about 11 years ago where I said, Lord, I want to invite You into my life. I want to know You. I want to be someone who's free and not a slave to sin. And I had to respond to the Lord. And I believe that there's some here this morning, and you need to respond to the Lord and say, God, I want a part of that. Like, I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore, but I want Jesus in my life. Free of bondage and no longer slaves to the system of the world, but I want you to know that you're bought with a price. So I'm going to ask you to do something really brave this morning, and many of us are already responding to the Lord. But if that is you and you say, man, I don't know that if I die today, where I'm going. I might be going to hell because I don't know Jesus. But I want in this morning, I want to be part of His great kingdom. I want Jesus in my life. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to respond real soon. And I'm going to count to three. If that is you, don't you just want to slip up your hand that I can see who you are? And we would love to celebrate that with you this morning. If you want to respond to Jesus. So I'm going to count to three. I'm going to count to three. If you can raise your hand, and we would love to pray with you. Right, so 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone who wanna say, I wanna invite Jesus this morning? Cool. there anyone else who wants to say, I want to invite Jesus into my life this morning? I want to be accepted by Jesus. I want to be bought with that price this morning. Okay. Cool. Great. Thank you, Lord. God, so we just, as your people this morning, repent, Lord, that we chose busyness and comfort above living in faith, God. We're so sorry, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this morning as we repent, that it won't be only a thing of saying sorry, but I pray that we'll actually go out here and change. Lord, where do we need to cut back? So that we can be more effective for you in the kingdom, God. Where do we need to step out more in faith? Where do we need to meet more with you, God? We want to choose you, Lord. We repent of that, Lord. And Lord, I'm so convinced that this morning there's a clear invitation from the Lord that says, come, come, come and meet with me. Come and meet with me. And we as your people, Lord, this morning say, yes, Lord. We want to meet with you, God. We desire to meet with you, God. We don't want to be like the Israelites standing afar and watching Moses meet with you. But we're hungry for you this morning, God. Come and do whatever you want to do amongst us this morning, Lord. We want to be a people of great faith. Great faith. Would you come and stir that in our hearts this morning, God? Life is short, but God is big. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. So I wanna urge you guys, there's like 45 minutes left. We have time now to meet with the Lord. I want to ask you, don't settle for comfort or complacency this morning to not step out. Don't settle for, if you've always just stood in your chair, like behind the chair and not worshiped the Lord extravagantly, I want to urge you this morning, step out. Like, come and meet with the Lord this morning. If you've never prophesied this like before, I want to urge you, step out this morning and trust in God for a word. If you've never worshiped the Lord extravagantly this morning, come and do it. But there's an opportunity this morning to present ourselves to the Lord this morning and to find rest. Is that cool? So let's come. We're going to meet with the Lord. We're not sure where it's going to go, but I believe that God wants to meet us this morning. Yeah. I want to actually ask some of the guys, if you can help us, we're going to move some of these chairs. So if we can move the chairs to the side, it doesn't need to be neat. We just create space to find God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see how big you are, God. Lord, there's often just one word to describe you, and that's what the angels do when they see you. It is holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Come and fill our hearts, Lord, this morning with the awe of your holiness and your greatness and your majesty, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord.